Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Just a reminder, if you're not speaking, please mute your audio line. If you're having trouble for some reason muting your line or you don't know how, please contact Brenda or me in the private chat and we can help you mute your line on Adobe Connect and show you how to do that. Today we have Robert on the audio line. I just want to confirm before we get going that the recording has started on the audio line.
Recordings have started.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. So just to confirm, for roll call, we do it in the Adobe Connect room. So anyone who's marked as present in the Adobe Connect room will be noted as an attendee. And we will also go through the audio line for anyone who is not in Adobe Connect. Right now I have Robert Guerra only. Is there anyone else? Okay. Thank you. Lisa, it's off to you.
Thank you, Grace. This is Lisa Fu for the record, and welcome to this 18th meeting of the CWG. As one of the co-chairs, I will chair this meeting. And Jonathan will also join the call, but he might be a little late. Well, we've made some very good progress during the last weekend. There were active and very constructive participation from the group. We discussed the surveys in order to find convergence. And Jonathan and I have sent out the chair's statement Sunday describing the key developments. Well, the original intention of the meetings during the weekend was to produce a basis to prepare a draft to be reviewed and signed off by the chartering organizations. And even though we all worked flat out during the weekend, we didn't really reach that goal. This needs to be addressed, and we need to find a way forward. At this call, we'll get an update from the different groups. We'll have to we'll discuss the relationship with the CCWG accountability. And we need to have an overview of what are the issues that we need to take account of on our way forward. And I see that Grace shared the statement with you. We sent it out, so I think we're not going to go through this in details, but here it is. And I think we should head on to the status updates from the subgroups. So I think, I don't know, Greg, are you on the call, Greg, for subgroup 3? Greg? No, doesn't seem like, but I can see Alan from subgroup 3B. You're on the call. Could you please give us a status update of what's happened in 3B?
Sure. Thank you, Lisa, and good morning. It's Alan McGilvary for the record. I trust everyone can hear me.
Yes.
We had our first meeting of our CB yesterday at 4 o'clock in time. I was pleased with the turnout. I think we had over 20 participants. And had a bit of technical difficulty at the outset. We finally got going. The focus and the parameters of the group, because I, as chair, thought it's important to get that nailed down. And unfortunately, we didn't bring complete resolution to that point. And we really need to, because otherwise there's so much out there that we risk fragmenting. So there was a suggestion that we perhaps go back and look at the functions we're trying to replicate or deal with. So I thought that was a useful suggestion. So at our next meeting, we are going to do that and rejoin the discussion of the focus and the parameters. So that's it. Formal comment. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Alan. And then we have subgroup 4. Robert or Shiva, will you give an update on the RFP 4 group?
Sure. This is Robert, and apologies for the background noise. I think for the update of RFP 4, we actually did not have a meeting this week, and so we're at the same level we were last week. We're just waiting for an update emerging from this weekend's meeting, and have as agreed to a process and the type of documents. Shiva, so that's kind of the general update. Shiva has circulated a document of which we are still awaiting some feedback in regards to some stress tests or tests that we might apply to the RFP3 proposal as it comes out. I suggest those that are interested to please let me or Shiva know so we can send that. So that's number one. And number two, during the conversations this weekend, I stressed multiple times that as we try to tweak, revise, or adapt RFP3, that we should think about the RFP4 implications, particularly transition implications that might apply. And so I'll try to my best to participate in the RFP3 conversations as they move forward. So we're kind of on hold and awaiting further instructions from the rest of the group. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. And I don't know if subgroup 5, Cheryl's group, is having any news. Cheryl?
Cheryl, for the record, Lisa, thanks. No, we also didn't meet since our last Committee of the Whole meeting last week. As with our last update, we do, however, have our drafting wiki page open, so we are able to contribute some early work on text development there, and I'd remind everybody that they're welcome to go to that page, and I'll ask Grace if she or one of staff could just copy the link to that wiki page into today's chat as well to act as a reminder for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. That was the status updates from our groups. And actually, the next item is relationship with the CCWG accountability. And the thing is that Jonathan promised to do that presentation, but since he's not here, I will try and have a go at it. And I hope he will join in later at the call. But regarding, there's been expressed a lot of concern about the linkage with the CCWG, and we as the chairs and the coordinators recognize that this is a critical area of our work. So we actually felt we needed to depict the linkage to the CCWG, and that is why Jonathan earlier this week sent you a diagram of the linkage we see with the CCWG. He sent it out for the whole group. And I don't know, Grace, if you could put up the diagram on the screen.
Hi, Lisa. I'm happy to bring up the diagram. I also just received a note from Greg Shadden, who said he's on the phone line and he's joining
okay.
Udoka as we speak.
So okay. If Greg is on the call, I might jump back then to have him do a short update on the RFP3. Is he on audio too, or can he?
I am on audio.
Oh, thank you. Can you jump in and make an update of the RFP3, please?
Certainly. Greg Shatton, for the record. Well, most of RFP3 was, of course, subsumed to our intensive work weekend, but we are continuing to make progress. I'll leave the subject of RFP3B to Alan McGillivray, Briefly to state, that as most of you already know, it's been set up to look at an alternative contract co and contract free framework as opposed to the what I'll call the Frankfurt framework, which we're still working through, and obviously it's also, you know, completely open to change. We did have continuing activity on the list, I think that we're going to get to legal later, which is in a sense also part of RFP 3, but I think that's later in our subject as well. So I would say that by and large, you know, since our last call, most of the activity has been on the list, since we haven't had a call of RFP 3 since our last call. I think that we have also, as part of the intensive work weekend, we're undertaking a sort of a data mining project, going back to some of the earlier exchanges, notes from earlier calls and webinars, to look for any details or issues that were explained in those and that haven't made it kind of into the continuing stream of work. Bernie Turcotte in his copious free time is spearheading that Herculean challenge. Back to you, Lisa.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I guess we will. I don't know if we should switch and wait until Jonathan comes to do the relationship with the CDWG accountability. I don't know if he's on the call. Just 1 second. Maybe we could start with, instead, we'll take looking ahead and timeline before we go back and do the, I can do the flow chart, but Jonathan was going to do the presentation of the whole item three. So I think I'll just go to item four instead, looking ahead in the timeline. Okay. So as you see in the agenda, we have three issues here. We have key dependency, we have legal advice, and we have the timeline. And, as we see it, the work we're doing are having key dependencies on that we need to be aware of when we're looking ahead and when we're revising any timeline. And we'd like to discuss those key dependency and hear the opinion from the group. And one of the first one is actually the linkage to the work with the CCWG. That's going to be described from Jonathan later on this meeting. And actually, we would like to have some input for their meeting in Frankfurt next week. The second one is the legal advice for any there's echo. Legal advice for any proposal that we will bring forward. And this is going to be discussed under B. The next one is actually the fact that we need to bring the chartering organizations with us. And we have them to sign off the final proposal before this is sent to the ICG. And this has to do with do we have enough details in our proposal? Do we have enough support? And as asked for by ICG, we need consensus of any proposal that's going to be sent to the ICG. And the last one, and this has not been decided yet by the group, but it might also be one of the key dependencies, and that is our group's ability to absorb and process a possible second round of public comments. So I would like to hear this group, if you have other thoughts regarding dependencies, and if you'd like to put them forward at this stage. Thank you. Don't see any hands at the moment. Oh, Chuck, go ahead.
Sure, I'll fill in some white space, okay. I asked a question in the chat of Greg and Alan regarding estimates of the time they might need for their subgroups, 3 and 3B, to finish their work. And I'm not surprised that Alan said it was too early to really give an estimate, but those are two key dependencies, as you know, because we can't go very far until we get their output is finalized. And if we exclude their needs for legal advice, and I think both groups will need that, hopefully in the next couple weeks, those two groups can get a better idea of how much time they're going to need to finish their tasks, because really we can't move very much further forward, including getting some information for Frankfurt that the public can comment on there until that happens. So I think those are two huge dependencies, as everyone knows, that the sooner we can get some estimates of what that will take, and I fully comprehend the difficulty of making those estimates, but hopefully the two groups can be looking, as they work further, can be thinking about that particular question as to how much time they think they will really minimally need to get done what they've targeted. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. Yeah, I think you make a very valid point there, I don't know if it's possible at this stage, but I think it's very important that we kind of flesh out what are the key dependencies and how can we try to quantify these in a timeline. So, Avery, Doria, you're next.
Avery speaking. Yeah, just 2 points. I was one of the people that sat in on RFP 3B yesterday, and one of the things, and these are similar to notes I just put in the chat, but is that if the group were to concentrate on the existing alternate proposals as opposed to what I felt yesterday was sort of a, oh boy, we have a chance to reboil the ocean, and going back almost from scratch, coming to a replacement for certain functions that, yes, would require changes to some of the other three or four pieces, but not the rethink of everything from scratch, it might be predictable. And I wanted to just also touch on one of the statements that Chuck made, said we can't include their needs in the legal request. And I wanted to say that there's at least one of their needs that we need an answer on from the legal, and it's one of the subjects that bounced around a lot in RFP3. It's, to what extent can either the bylaws or the articles be modified so that anything that does go in that is an internal solution dependent on accountability changes can be done in a binding manner and can be done in a way that a board that has the ability to change the bylaws whenever it wishes can't change those things. And that's a piece where, there have been many opinions, most of which said can't be done, some of which said must be able to be done. And I think that's the kind of thing that, we would absolutely have to get legal advice on, because I believe that would be one of the gating factors that either says, yes, there is some viability to an internal solution, or no, there's no way to do what you need to do. So I think at the very least, even if they haven't formed a solution, that particular question is a known question that needs to be asked. Thank you.
Thank you, Ari. I don't think, Greg is gonna talk about how we find we can get legal advice next after this discussion. So let's see what Greg comes up with before we kind of discuss that part too much. For me, it's more to recognize what are the key dependencies and the legal advice we'll discuss later. Alan Greenberg, you're next.
Thank you. Just in reference to what Avery was saying, what we can and cannot do is an unknown in terms of the current ICANN structure. We do know, however, that we could transform ICANN into a membership organization, assuming we can decide on who the members are. And at that point, there really are no such restrictions. So the viability of a way going forward is not really in question. It's just the details of which way. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Stefan Johnson, you're next.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, I tried to address this in a mail yesterday, and I'm not sure if I made sense to it, but also following Avery's comments, I would rather say that legal advice is a key dependency, and I think that was my remark yesterday. So, yeah, it is hard to separate legal advice from key dependencies, maybe.
Thank you, Stefan. Greg Shatton, you're next.
I'm Greg Shatton, for the record. A couple of points. I certainly agree with everyone that legal is a key dependency, and we'll talk a little bit later on the efforts that we've made toward getting that advice. Would caution that while membership offers certain opportunities to, in a sense, have an entity or organization or group that, in a sense, sits above the board, it's not a free-for-all. There are limitations to the powers of members in membership nonprofits. It does offer, aside from Contract Co., the most straightforward path to putting something opposite the board that has certain powers to tell the board what to do in an ultimate manner, but that's it's not quite so straightforward, though I wish it were. I think I agree with Avery that attempting to reboil the ocean will stick us in nowhere's land for a long time. That doesn't mean that everything is graven in stone, but to re-argue all the old arguments that we did again, most sequels aren't as good as the original movie, Superman 2 being an exception, I think a sequel to all the work we've done for the last few months would not make sense. We need to build on what we've done, approach anything else with hopefully we've all gotten smarter on this, realizing that we need some outside smarts to advise us on the issues that we have in front of us in terms of legal. As I said, I'll get to some of the points on legal later. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. I guess Stefan and Greg, those are old hands. And I don't know if any more key dependencies, if you have any more key dependencies. If not, I think we should... Grace has raised her hand. Grace?
Hi, Lisa. This is just to let you know that Jonathan has joined the line.
Yes. I know, thank you. But I think I will go ahead with the legal advice, and then we'll go back to accountability, and then I'll finish with the timeline. So I'm going to jump a little bit back and forth, but I hope you can manage. But I'll just, I don't see any more hands regarding any new key dependencies from what we have discussed. So I will move on to Greg, because during last weekend's call, the co-chairs and the coordinators, we have started to prepare for legal advice, and Greg will present this preparation, not that it has started. Thank you.
Greg Shatton again. Thank you, Aliza. As many of you have seen on the list, over the course of the last couple of days, we prepared a draft, essentially scoping document for legal counsel. It's definitely under, it's still under construction. Has some valuable comments already on the list from Alan Greenberg, Paul Kane, others that will further flesh out the potential questions. Important thing to note about that document is it is merely intended to be a scoping document and not a binding scoping document. The real intention is to identify kind of what sort of legal expertise we need and what general types of questions they'll need to deal with. It's not that they will be presented with a set of written questions and provide us with written answers. They'll provide legal advice in a more interactive fashion. We'll need to put together a small group that could act, you know, in a sense as the client to outside legal, so they're not necessarily answering questions from 130 people simultaneously. But that's not intended to shield them from the concerns of the group, just intended to make the best use of their time. And the money that will be spent to secure that time. So I encourage all of you to take a look, if you haven't already, at the draft legal and also at the thread on the list, which will be used to add additional questions that I felt that the contributions on the list were spot on and do need to be added. We had discussions with Samantha Eisner from ICANN Legal just to essentially kind of hone and refine the questions. Legal counsel will be instructed by us, and their fees, as I understand it, would be paid by ICANN, but under U.S., and I'm assuming for the moment U.S., counsel under ethical rules, the duty of loyalty is to the client, which would be us, and not to the person paying the bill. So in any case, we are, regardless of that, looking for, you know, quote unquote independent legal counsel, not one that has, you know, seen as one that has advised ICANN throughout the years on the positions that need a little bit of rethinking, to say the least, in terms of what can and can't be done. Are there any... and I see that Chuck is saying it is an iterative process. We do want to give enough instruction and background to counsel so that we're not wasting their time, not spending a couple of hours on the phone, which would translate to, you know, potentially a few thousand dollars just to give them basic background, but do want to have them enter at some sort of reasonably rational point and give them at least a précise of issues that are on the table. I think the issues are at least a level above the current solutions. The solutions assume or hope for certain legal conclusions. We may also have them vet the solutions as well. I think that will probably come, but that doesn't necessarily come first. You know, bigger issues such as how does one bind the board of a California nonprofit or public benefit corporation? You know, who can do that under what circumstances? Kind of are across several solutions, and you know, we'll be looking at those questions, obviously in the context of our task. But those questions will, I think, you know, provide answers that will help us understand better our solutions. In any case, I open the floor to questions, if there are any. There appear to be none. Please, I'll throw it back to you.
Okay. Thank you, Greg, and thank you for the work you've been doing. I think this is a good step forward. And I agree with the Chuck. It's going to be an iterative process that we need to build on during the consultation.
Lisa, one more thing I did want to mention that was actually it was asked on the side, but it was considered is whether this legal expert would or could be the same as the legal expert that is being sought for very similar reasons and issues by the CCWG. And the answer is that it definitely could. That is very much on the table. That would be, I would expect that that would be the case. Up to the point where the legal needs diverge so markedly that it doesn't even make sense to have a coordinating counsel answering both questions. But by and large, from what I can see from my participation in the accountability group and my work here, there's a high degree of overlap in the issues and skill sets that are being sought. So, and I think it would, you know, clearly be cost-effective and time-effective to have the same counsel engaged for both. So my cautiously optimistic answer would be yes, it more likely than not would be the same counsel. And you know, just as a general matter for those who, you know, haven't worked or suffered much with lawyers, it's, you know, common for counsel from one jurisdiction to coordinate getting answers from other jurisdictions. Either from other offices of their own firm or from counsel with which they have prior experience, which in any case would be vetted by us. And one last procedural aspect, but not unimportant, is that ICANN has a procurement process, and that if we hired counsel that had never previously been hired by ICANN, that we would have to go through that process. That does not mean we would not do so. We're looking for the best counsel and not the most expedient counsel. Nonetheless, it should be noted that ICANN has worked with quite a number of firms, some marginally or less regularly than others. I think we would all say that Jones Day is highly identified with sort of the advice that's been given to the corporation over the years, though probably Jones Day would not be viewed as independent counsel, but it is entirely possible that counsel that has provided, say, some specific advice to ICANN in the past, and that's therefore kind of inside the procurement circle, could be hired if we can be you know, reasonably assured without undue paranoia of their ability to be independent. And in any case, their ethical duty would be to be independent. But we need more than just ethical duty. We also need the proper perception of independence. So, you know, that is something we'll need to work through. But I'm confident that with the high caliber of lawyers out there, that we'll come up with someone that fills the bill and will do so in a reasonable time frame. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Still no questions regarding this? Oh, I see Jonathan's hand is up. Jonathan?
Thanks, Lisa. I think a comment to thank Greg. That was a comprehensive advice, and obviously the preparation work that's gone on here is very useful. I, too, recognize that this will be iterative. I noticed that the notes pick up that the procurement process is likely if we used a firm that had not worked with ICANN previously. So that does highlight that there's a dependency in the timetable here, which we'll need to capture as part of the dependency. So there's, if you like, legal A and legal B, depending on whether the firm we use is on the supplier list. And in that respect, I think there was possibly, I wasn't fully present while you dealt with the dependencies. I wondered if you captured, I mean, there's clearly the relationship with the CCWG on accountability. There's the legal advice, which we've just discussed now in more detail. There's clearly the need to inform, engage, and have the support of the chartering organizations throughout the process and any time, and time that will consume. And then finally, there is the need, the potential need, not the certain need, but the potential need for public comment. Let's just say that, for public comment. And so we need to be aware of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. And I agree that this is a very good document to share with the accountability group, too. So it's very nice to have it written down in order to actually get the thinking going and inspiration of where are the things we need advice on and what do we need them to look into, the accountability group, too. But is there any more questions regarding legal advice or any comments? Because then I'll actually go back to item 3, the relationship with the CCWG accountability, and I will pass the word on to you, Jonathan, so you can walk us through the linkage with the accountability and also input for the Frankfurt meeting, please.
Okay, Lisa, thank you very much, and thank you, everyone. So first of all, we have, when looking at the interrelationship, we now have a new document or documents in front of us, but the first new document we can look at is of course, this flowchart that's been shared with shared with you and circulated amongst the group. This was drafted on the back of the discussions, the weekend meetings, and what appeared to be the convergence of our thinking about the interdependence of these. Very cognizant that this needs to be properly vetted by this group, so please do look at it carefully and make sure it reflects your stroke, our understanding of the position. I can say it pretty closely reflects mine, although actually, as it happens, I have a couple of minor comments on it to refine it, but they are not material. So looking up at the left then, you've got the final proposal coming out of our group, being passed through the chartering organizations, hopefully having been sufficiently socialized, considered, and previously discussed, such that the chartering organizations are by then comfortable with it and likely to vote to support it, and then that passed to the ICG. Now, as we've discussed on a couple of occasions, we are likely to put some conditionality into that. And in fact, I put a note to the list because we had a so-called SOACSG leadership call with Fadi and senior ICANN staff just prior to this, and Fadi reflected and recognized that the conditionality that's likely to be built into this, including a prospective overarching conditionality. So notwithstanding the smaller points of conditionality, but reflecting an overarching conditionality, essentially saying that unless our proposal meets a sufficient accountability threshold test, it is only valid if it meets that sufficient accountability threshold test. So it seems to me that we recognize what we're trying to do, others recognize what we're trying to do, and it's now up to us to set the specificity of those conditions, and that's the real challenge next. And critically, in this flowchart, it envisages the work from work stream one from the CCWG ultimately coming back to us to be checked that it satisfactorily meets those conditional criteria. To my mind, it either closely or almost fully represents the way I see the flow going, but any critical input will be most welcome. So that's the pictographic representation of how it will work. Now, on to the very short-term practicalities of all of this. Alan Greenberg, as he had promised to do, did prepare a document which was circulated to the group. I don't think, when I looked at it, well, not only had I missed it at first pass through the main list, but I didn't notice that there were other responses to it. But in essence, the way I saw it slightly differently to Alan, but only structurally, not in terms of the content, and that I was looking to see if there would be perhaps some general or overarching conditions, and then in addition to that, specific conditions relating to the work of RFP 3A, which I think logically are likely to be less demanding than the superset of conditions relating to RFP 3B. In other words, internal or integrated solution, necessarily it is more demanding of the accountability conditions, or at least that's how we were talking about it on the weekend. In any case, the key output we need to try and produce is as specific as possible guidance as to overarching conditions and conditions specific to 3A and the work of the CCWG. Now, there's an urgency here in that the CCWG is meeting in person in Frankfurt on Monday and Tuesday. So, I note your point in the chat, Avery, that you haven't had a chance to either review or be involved in the composition of the document so far. I think that's unfortunate, but nevertheless, we should still not lose the opportunity to take the next, well, I guess we've got probably around 48 hours or so to prepare something to send across, to do the best we can to inform any work of the CCWG on accountability in work stream one. Avery, I note your comment that several will be in Frankfurt, and that's, of course, very helpful in terms of interlinking the thinking and the communications and so on. But that ideally we would have some kind of mandate or, we would have captured a sense from this group of what those conditional requirements might be. So as much as we can do that preliminary work and then rely on others who are in both groups to carry that forward would be very useful. So could I have any comments or questions either about the flowchart at this stage and the linkage that it represents, and specifically about the content and of the document and the associated conditionality that we at least are likely to give a heads up to the CCWG of the direction of travel of this group. Milton, go ahead.
Yes. I'm struggling with the concept of conditional accountability requirements. Let's suppose that we, just for the sake of argument, that we had all agreed that the original Frankfurt proposal was what we wanted. We were ready to send it. What are we talking about in terms of identifying conditional accountability requirements? Are we saying that before you implement this proposal, the CCWG has to do X, Y, and Z? The problem I have with that is that, first of all, we have no idea what the CCWG's recommendations it makes are going to be accepted by the ICANN board, because anything CCWG does is, of course, subject to the approval of the ICANN board. And secondly, it's possible to say that you need to do this, but the form of implementation that it takes may not actually deliver the requirements that we think are required, because, again, the CCWG will be working these things out on a different time scale and through different mechanisms. So maybe Jonathan or somebody else can explain to me better what you mean by identifying conditional accountability requirements.
Yeah, Milton, I'll have a first go at that. So, in the because your point breaks down into two components. In the first part of it, there is a concern which you expressed and others have that the board is not obligated as such to implement or to accept the recommendations of the CWG on accountability. Therein lies the strength of this construct, notwithstanding your second point on implementation, which I agree could create some challenges. But we put across a proposal, or submit to the ICG a proposal, and we say, here's our proposal, but it presupposes or has the preconditions associated with it that ABC critical accountability criteria will be in place. For example, that a board decision relating to the IANA function is subject to an independent appeals process. To the extent that the CCWG doesn't deal with that to our latest satisfaction, our proposal in effect becomes at least subject to further review and development, and at worst, essentially null and void. But clearly we don't want to end up in that cul-de-sac. But essentially we would have the opportunity to sign off and say, yes, the way in which it is both proposed and arguably proposed to be implemented by the CWG, unless that is an accepted out their work, our proposal is no longer valid. So that's the that's the intention of that sort of feedback loop, if you like. Now, you may need strengthening in terms of how effective it is, but that's the principle at least.
Okay, so I thank you. That clears up the meaning of conditional accountability requirements. I guess the next question, as an ICG member, I would have is, what is to the ICG in finalizing that process? If, for example, ICG basically has to wait for both you and the CCWG to finalize it, come to an agreement as to whether those conditions have been met, and then the proposal is not really submitted to the ICG until that meeting of the minds and of the proposals has taken place. Is that correct?
I'm tempted to say yes and no. I mean, the clearly one of the logistical puzzles and challenges we've got is the lack of synchronicity between the timing of the work of the CWG and the CCWG. And the ICG's requirement to get on with its work. So we know that whilst they are interrelated and interdependent, these two streams of work, they need to be decoupled. So there's a finesse that needs to be undertaken here, but whereby we submit something of sufficient quality, substance, and in all likelihood, completeness to the ICG, but without putting it on total trust that the accountability requirements will be met. And the other part of the feedback loop is, of course, effective working between us as a group through the overlap of members and us as a group, as well, the CWG and the CCWG through overlap of members and through interrelationship between the chairs, such that there are no surprises in all of this. And I would, but in all of this, I would shy away from saying we are telling the CCWG what to do. I don't think we're giving them instructions, but we are saying that our proposal has certain critical requirements, and should their work not encompass those, our proposal would either no longer stand or need revision. So there is that, and that's what we mean by conditionality. Now, as I say, I hope that we'd have effective and satisfactory communication amongst ourselves such that we didn't end up with a car crash, but you may say that's wishful thinking, but that's certainly the intention, that we wouldn't end up with some kind of collision, but rather a form of iterative co-op. Okay, go ahead, Greg.
Thank you, Jonathan. I think you said much of what I wanted to say, but I think, you know, just that the intent is to drive forward with our proposal and not to wait until we have, you know, seen completed work from CCWG. Clearly, you know, if we're leaving somewhat of a placeholder for the work we hope that they will do based on the guidance we give them, among other things, with regard especially to Workstream 1, and if that work doesn't kind of meet the needs we believe we had, we would need to revise. I don't think, I'd be a little bit more optimistic in one sense and say that I don't think that our proposal would be kind of null and void or completely need to be completely redone. I expect that, you know, by and large, it should be able to stand on its own. But, of course, a lot of that depends on what our proposal is. But nonetheless, you know, I think our proposal cannot leave too much to the CCWG, in part just because of the splitting in terms of the two charters is what our scope in terms of our accountability responsibilities are versus theirs. You know, in an ideal world, the answer to that might be different. If they had completed all of their work before ours and there were a bunch of robust accountability structures that could be applied to our specific situations as well as others, that would be wonderful. But if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bus. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Jonathan, and what is, moving on, what is the content of our document for the CCWG?
Well, thanks, Lisa. Maybe I should let Alan take a first pass at that, although I've circulated a related document but my document really has a set of question marks in it. So let me let Alan, if he's willing, and is Alan on the call?
Alan is on the call.
Okay, great. Sorry, Alan, I wasn't seeing you there in the list. Go ahead, Alan, if you'd like to say something about what you've written, and we'll try and correlate and our thinking and get as much as we can done on this call.
Okay, thank you. What I've really done is I don't think I invented a lot. I tried to combine together the various things that have been presented till now on what kind of accountability measures or processes we need. The base came from the three that you and Lisa identified sometime way back in the beginning of December, if I remember correctly. I added to that what Chuck had mentioned in the meeting this last weekend, and I note that Chuck made reference to some other items that were in a chat, which has since been lost. So I had no way of going back. I was to try to find those, and that formed the core of what was required in either of the scenarios. Now, as I was trying to write these up, I realized that there was significant overlap and possibly conflicts between them, and I noted that in my document. So I think we need to address, if not the overlap, which we can live with, but the potential conflicts before we send this to the CCWG. I added into that for the RFP3B option essentially the two kinds of accountability that have been referenced most often in the various discussions and specifically in the proposals that were made, and that is the ability to override or direct the ICANN board or at the very least go out for binding arbitration on decision, and the ability to remove directors. So, you know, I was looking, as many of you know, the CCWG is taking a position that because of the leverage afforded by the ICANN's desire to effect the IANA transfer, we have an opportunity to get a lot more accountability that the community wants into this process. But I was looking strictly at what is necessary to make the CWG proposals work, not what the community would like to see at the same time. And those are the ones I came down with. And as I noted, the first one, for instance, of the ones that you and Lisa put together was a requirement that in certain cases unspecified, the independent review of board actions be made binding as opposed to discretionary on the board. I couldn't find any reference where we actually linked that to what something that we need to make the proposal work. Since you presented it, I let it stand there, but I have some difficulty understanding how that is linked to the specific proposals we're looking at, so I'm asking for guidance on that. On the other ones, they're relatively clean. The independent review panel, the appeals panel is something we've talked about, and I can't even recall what the third one is. The question of redelegation and either external verification, independent external verification of the redelegation rules, or something in its place, because we've never really come to closure on how we're going to replace the NTIA backstop in that particular case. So that's really all I did, is I tried to pull things together and note where they overlapped or where they conflicted with each other. Certainly the conflict I found was there are two different ways to look at redelegation that we're proposing, and both of them are binding, and it's not clear how you can have two competing things where both of them are binding. So not being the originator of them, I simply noted that potential problem and left it at that.
Thanks, Alan. And by backstop there, I think you meant to. Yeah, thanks, Alan. And just at that point on backstop, NTIA being a backstop, I think that's what I think that relates to the authorization function. Is that what you're meaning there?
Well, the fact that right now that everything has to get NTIA approval means in theory they could look at something and say, you know, some procedures weren't followed, some policies weren't followed, some whatever. Without that, is there a need? And we've heard different answers in this group as to whether, in fact, we need that or not. Both GTLDs and CCTLDs at various points have said someone needs to be verifying that.
Okay, so that's what I meant, the same thing, whether with relation to what we've called authorization function and whether or not that remains required. You had a question for Chuck, so I'm just going to appeal to Chuck to potentially come in and respond to that. But ahead of him, we're in the queue. We've got Greg and in the queue next, and then Paul. So, Greg, go ahead.
That's actually an old hand.
Then we'll go to Paul. Paul, we're not hearing you. Perhaps you're on mute or there's a technical issue.
Okay, so are you hearing me now? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Paul, we'll hear you.
Okay, so just on the subject of delegation and redelegation, the role of MTIA is not really a backstop per se, in that in the past, in the early days of ICANN particularly, there was some confusion over its role with respect to delegation and redelegation. There are many CCs that do not recognize that ICANN has a role in authorizing or otherwise a particular reassignment of a TLD. And as a result, ICANN sought to work with parties that it felt it could work with and effectively abuse its position. So MTIA stepped in to make sure that the proper processes were not circumvented. So it's not right to say that MTIA was a backstop per se. MTIA's role was to check that the correct processes had been followed, predominantly in country, and that to make sure that the correct processes had been followed. So this whole area is obviously very contentious for the CCTLD community because there is an interesting dynamic. ICANN has asserted in some instances where it doesn't have a relationship with the CC registry manager that it has authority. Governments have asserted that they have authority. Courts have asserted that they have made a determination that doesn't align with neither the government's wishes, in recent instances, favoring the incumbent operator. So one needs to be very careful when stepping into this area. But that was really just to give you some background with respect to the role NTIA fulfills. But the CC part is somewhat complicated, and one needs to be careful with the particular proposal or proposals that go forward.
Paul, that's very helpful. Thank you. And I think we may even need some more help here, because if you bear in mind, and not necessarily right now, but if you bear in mind that what we're trying to achieve here is conditional accountability and certain critical accountability mechanisms being in place such that the various parties who are supporting this transition proposal buy into it. Now, off the top of my head, it's possible that there may be a different accountability mechanism relating to delegation of C's and G's. So we could have a subtlety to our proposal which says the recourse, the accountability mechanism, or the recourse that is required under certain circumstances is A or B, depending on the party impacted by the erroneous action. So it's something to think about. It may be something you can actually assist with going forward. But let me go to Chuck and see if get his point, and then if you or others want to come in on that call, please do.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Chuck, and I'm responding to your request to follow up on Alan's work with regard to what we need from the accountability CCWG. Now, for everybody's information, I responded to Alan's list of, I think, six items on the list just a little bit ago, so you can see what in writing what I'm going to say now if you look at our list, the CWG list. So first of all, the missing item that Alan referenced that was in, I think, our last meeting over the weekend, I suggested that what we need from the accountability CCWG is some form of accountability mechanisms whereby registries, G's and C's, although it may be different for each, could appeal a delegation or redelegation decision that they felt violated policy or possibly in the case of CCTLDs, also local law. Actually, that may be what you have listed as your item number 4, which is GTLD delegation or redelegation appeal, although I don't necessarily think it would be appealing an IANA decision, but that varies a little bit by G's and C's, which I described in my email response to Alan. With regard to the second item in Alan's list, the independent certification for delegation and redelegation requests, I don't understand why we need anything from the CCWG in that regard. That's a decision we have to make whether there should be a certification process or not. Now, if there is a certification process, there may need to be an appeals ability to appeal that in some way, and if maybe that's what you're getting at there, Alan, and we can talk further about that. With regard to item 6 in Alan's list, that I'm understanding that to be a list of things we need from the accountability CCWG before this weekend. I don't know why we need the ability to remove directors specifically. We need accountability mechanisms, and that could be one of them, and that might be fine, but I don't think that the CWG necessarily needs the ability to remove directors. What we need are some accountability mechanisms that we could apply with regard to IANA work or work leading up to IANA that affects delegations and redelegations. And I'll stop there.
Thanks, Chuck. And you would have seen that I might perhaps some a similar point questioning the issue around the directors or at least trying to understand the motivation behind that. And then separately, I do see this accountability on delegations as breaking down into perhaps two key components. Has IANA made a rogue decision that didn't comply with the instructions given, and then separate to that, an ability to appeal not to IANA but to appeal to the basis, as you described, of the policy and or national law behind the delegation instruction? We defer now to Alan.
Thank you very much. The conflict I was referring to, first of all, yes, 4 is what Chuck is what you mentioned in the fourth meeting of the weekend sessions. And when I read it, I just got the sense you were talking about GTLDs, so that's what I put. If I got that wrong, my apologies. And you did point out that the decision is within ICANN prior to going to IANA, because it's essentially for GTLDs based on interpretation of the contract terms, and that is what I put there. That is, it's an appeal within ICANN prior to going to IANA. The conflict that I saw was with number 2, which said that someone might review the, whether process was followed and make a binding decision. And your one said it would go out for a binding appeal, and I saw those two as potentially conflicting. Maybe you can appeal a binding decision, but that's what I highlighted as a possible conflict. Number 2 is there because it was mentioned in the original list that Lisa and Jonathan forwarded to the accountability group, and I simply echoed it, perhaps changing the words very slightly, but I left it there without removing it, because I understood that had been something that had been discussed within the CWG and agreed to. So that was left. Regarding removal of directors, again, I was echoing what people have said. Both the ALAC proposal, certainly the first ALAC proposal, and the OUTA proposal, both suggested that the removal of directors was one of the mechanisms that might be used by accountability to effect control over the board. And given that there were, it was mentioned by two of the internal to ICANN proposals and possibly a third, I didn't bother checking, I left it in there as one of the things that might be needed. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Let's move on to Milton then. Milton, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Chuck's reaction and Alan's response indicates some of the complexities or confusion around this topic. So, in effect, Chuck is asking how these accountability requirements are related to IANA, and other people I know are asking the same questions. And I think with the internal to ICANN model requirements, what we have to understand is that the transition is more like a bargain in which we're saying, okay, ICANN, you get a monopoly on IANA forever. There's no separability. And in exchange for that, we have to be convinced not just that your IANA is accountable, but the whole corporation is accountable, not just for IANA, but for policymaking and everything else. This is the real problem with, in my opinion, with the internal model, that it puts so much of your eggs in one basket regarding accountability. So, yeah, Chuck is right. We don't know if we have an internal model is control over ICANN board decisions or ability to remove directors. Is that exactly the right accountability mechanism we need before we can affect the transfer, the transition? Or do we need other things? All of these other things. And it's very hard to know what you actually will need once you don't have separability, once you are committing yourself to a perpetual monopoly control of IANA by ICANN, the corporation. So it's a real conundrum there. And in effect, you're saying make these accountability concessions and we will give you IANA forever. And again, you can put that on paper. You can say, let's say, we're going to have the ability to remove directors, but how does that get implemented? What if it gets implemented in a way that's extremely difficult to actually be useful? This is the problem with this whole internal model, in my opinion.
Okay, thanks, Milton. I've got a couple of thoughts there, but I won't come in yet. I'll defer to Chuck.
Chuck, again, and responding further to Alan's six items, let me make clear, I'm not saying that those items weren't brought up at some point in time. What I'm saying is that there's a couple of them that I don't necessarily think that we need something from the CCWG to do our work. Number two, which was independent certification of delegation redelegation, that seems to be clearly in our court. Now, if there's an appeal mechanism, then it ties into to what the accountability CCWG is doing. And Milton said it pretty well, I think, but with regard to, I'm not opposed, nor am I advocating for removal of board members. That's just one accountability mechanism. I don't think we have any specific need for the CCWG to do something with that. If they come back with something along that line that operates in a way that would meet our needs, that would be fine. But I don't think it's a specific need we have from the CCWG. And my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is what we're trying to do is come up with a specific list of needs that we have from the CCWG before we can finish our work. So I hope that helps a little bit. I agree that these things have come up, but I don't necessarily agree, especially on number two and number six, that we have a need of the CCWG in those regards. Thanks.
So a remark from the chair, and then I guess a couple of remarks that I thought of personally in response to some of the points that have been made. But certainly it feels to me like we need to, a couple of people need to help Alan in refining this document so that the group can be behind this document as and when it goes across to the CCWG to help inform their work. Alan's gone out in front and put something that he has, as he said, he believes reflects what's been discussed before, but it sounds to me like there's sufficient feedback that certainly needs revision and work prior to going across, and unfortunately we're just on a very short deadline here. Two points then in addition. One is that I see us as having, I guess, the transition creates a couple of issues for accountability in my mind. One is that very much in scope of this group is ensuring that the IANA function remains operationally accountable. In other words, it continues to perform, if not continues to improve to perform its technical and operational function adequately. For me, it feels very firmly in scope. However, in addition to that very firm in scope work, when the transition takes place, we lose the oversight that we've traditionally had from the NTIA, and to that extent, it's incumbent on the community, and in my view, primarily through the CCWG, to improve and perhaps add in some new overarching accountability mechanisms. And I feel it's our job to assist them, specifically insofar as they relate to anything to do with the operation of the IANA function, but potentially we could give guidance in other areas as well. And that's where what it feels to me like we're trying to do. And finally, just a quick response to Milton's point on the fact that the internal solution doesn't envisage separability. I don't think that's off the table within 3B. I don't think 3B has given up on separability. It just doesn't include separation at the outset. So I think caution on the use of the word separability, because in my mind it's not off the table for 3B. Alan.
Thank you very much. Your last point was one of the ones I was going to make. I believe all of the internal ICANN proposals have a separability option. It's not the one that Milton envisions as being optimal, perhaps, but they're all there. So I really have a problem with continually saying that the internal ICANN options imply forever and ever, amen. I think that distorts the words that were actually written. In terms of removal of directors, I believed that the outer proposal did mention that, at least in an earlier version. It doesn't appear that the final one does, and I apologize for that error. Regarding refinement, I get on an airplane on Saturday, and my schedule is pretty well blocked between now and then. So although I'll certainly make comments on any further drafts, I don't have the time to be the pen on my own editorial comments, what I thought had been presented by the group. And at this point, someone else is going to have to take it over and try to clean it up. So I apologize for that, but I just don't have the time between now and getting on a plane to do it.
Thanks, Alan. I put my hand down, and Avery.
I think part of the issue here is that some of the issues that are on it may be primary issues and some of them may be dependent issues. So, for example, the ability to have clauses in the bylaw that can be amended by the board is kind of like a primary issue. Then all of the bylaw changes that you would wish to make and whether indeed they could have this status of not being changeable by the board become the secondary questions. And I think it's worth asking both of them, but I think we need to understand that there's some dependency even within the sets of questions. So, you know, that's one reason why I think it's probably reasonable that this remain within the list, but I think it needs to also remain there in a way that, you know, indicates its dependency on some of the others. So the list may actually be more complex than just a flat list of unrelated list items. And I don't know how far we can get in that, but, you know, that kind of question and that kind of different level of dependency between the questions, I think, is worth trying to reflect if we can. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Chuck?
And I think Avery makes a good point there. I want to come back and illustrate why I think the suggestion I made over the weekend is something that we definitely need the CCWG to do, and it's this kind of test that I think we ought to use on each of the items to see if there's a definite need. If the CCWG does not provide for a mechanism for registries, Cs or Gs, to appeal a delegation or redelegation decision, then that's something that we're going to have to do ourselves. So we're can you still hear me?
Yes, Chuck, we can. It's interfering with other lines.
I'll try and talk over that. That's what I think. Those are the kind of things that are really critical, in addition to the kind of things that Aubrey's talking about, that we really need from them. And if they don't provide them, we're going to have to do more work after they're done. If you'll recall, in the fourth call, for those that were on it or listened to the recording, Steve Crocker and I had a what I thought was a very constructive discussion. And I wasn't, in the case of GTLDs, talking about anything done by the IANA. As for Gs, the IANA function operator, as Steve pointed out, doesn't make any decision as whether the delegation should occur or not. That's already been made in the policy process and the implementation of policy for GDLDs before it ever gets to IANA. But even though it's not something that the IANA function operator is directly a registry with regard to the ultimate delegation and redelegation of a TLD. So, without that, if it doesn't happen from the CCWG, then I firmly believe that we're going to need to do more work. And so that's a number one criteria for me as something we need from the IANA CCWG, and we need to make it clear to them before this weekend that's a definite need of ours, unless, of course, there's disagreement in what I'm saying, which is a possibility, too. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. So I'm going to go to Paul next, and then we're going to wrap this up. But clearly what we've got to do in short order is produce a best first effort to guide Workstream 1 of the CCWG in Frankfurt. And it's going to require a dedicated team coming together and doing a short burst of work. So Avery's volunteered to help Alan. If anyone else is willing to help constructively build that output on the back of what's been discussed here in meeting 4 previously, would be very helpful. Thanks, Chuck. I know it's your offer of help. Paul, did you want to have a last word here?
I would just like to endorse what Chuck has just said, specifically for the GTLD market. where contracts define how TLD comes into place, how it is delegated, how it is reassigned. It is essential any decision of the ICANN board, which is a contracted party, has an opportunity for an appeals process, and I think that should be part of the CWG work. The CCTLDs, they break into two primary camps. There are those CCs that have a contractual or an agreement with ICANN and defer to ICANN for decisions relating to assignment, reassignment, redelegation of CCTLD, or in the case of a new country code being added to the list, in the case of adding a new country code to the route server system, that is frequently done by a contract or an agreement. But those CCs that don't recognize ICANN's authority in this area, I also endorse your view, Mr. Chairman, with respect to there could be a different path for those CCs that do not have a relationship with ICANN to ensure that nothing is done to undermine the stability of their operation. So basically, I'm endorsing both what you, Mr. Chairman, referred to earlier and what Chuck has just referred to now.
Thank you, Paul. I think that feels quite clear. There's an area in and around accountability on delegation that needs some proper work on it, but it seems to break down into one GTLDs, two CCTLDs, with 2A being those CCTLDs with contractual or agreement-based relationship with ICANN, and 2B being those that don't. And it may well be that we can craft something which provides the relevant accountability for all of those categories of activity. So good. Thank you. And I note, Milton saying in the chat how challenging this will be, but, I think that's the work of RFP3B and the consequence of that work on the accountability track. So there's work for sure, and it's not easy, but somewhere in all of this we've got to try and get a convergence of thinking such that it's satisfactory at minimum to the various participants. I think we'll call that item to a close now. It's a good work. Please help Avery in developing the document to the extent that Alan is unable to, those of you who are willing and able to assist, and there's a suggestion that's done through some kind of online Google Drive doc, which personally I can say I've found quite satisfactory for collaborative editing in some recent work. Okay, I think I'll hand the chair back to you then, Lisa, for the next item.
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you very much for walking us through the relationship with the CCWG accountability. We're back to item 4C then, looking ahead and timeline. And, regarding the timeline, Jonathan and I had a dialogue yesterday with the ICG chairs. And during this call, we told them that this group needs more time in order to have a better proposal to put forward, and we need to do a proper and thorough job of getting a proposal that will have the chartering organizations sign off. And they understand that, but at the same time, the ICG want us to revert with a new timeline, and we as chairs are very committed to this. This doesn't mean that this group can lean back and just wait for legal advice to be completed, or that we will have to wait for the CCWG to finish their part of Workstream 1. It is our opportunity to get into more details, and at the same time, we may use this to communicate with our communities
and on chartering organizations and find out where the convergence is and with different parts of the proposals. I think we need to work on a revised timeline and new target, and we need to have some kind of indication of this by the end of our meeting next week. Well, we have staff helping us with the project planning, and we will try to get the key dependencies in the timeline. And our plan is to produce a revised plan, depending on some of the key issues, and to present this for the CWG next Thursday. So, is there any questions or remarks? So, Jonathan, if you want to add to this, feel free. I see Chuck. Paul, can you have your hand up? Is that an old hand? Or because yeah, it is an old hand. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Lisa. And so if I can translate what you just said as a target for our next meeting, we then need to do our best by our next meeting to come up with some estimates, maybe a range of time periods, best case, worst case, and so on, for the key dependencies. For example, we need to try and get an estimate of how long it's going to take us to get legal advice. We're going to need to come up with an estimate for subgroup 3 and 3B in terms of when they think they can get their work done, et cetera. So, I'm just trying to add to what you're saying and saying we should work towards those objectives for each of the dependencies. Otherwise, it would be very difficult to develop a timeline, and I fully support a timeline. Let me be clear on that.
Thank you, Chuck. I agree. It's very important that we keep up momentum and not slow down, even though we now recognize that we can't meet the first timeline that was set by the ICG. And I think it's of utmost importance that we try and of course, estimate a new target and timeline. And at the same time, well, keep up the speed and well, even though we have dependencies, we need to do a lot more drafting. And I see a lot of people saying we should set aside time for the face-to-face in Singapore. I agree it would be constructive to use the Singapore meeting. I see Jonathan, you had your hand is up. Jonathan, go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of, and I hope it's not repetitive, thoughts and points on the timeline. I think ICG was certainly understands that we have a diverse community and a relatively complex piece of to try and synthesize the views of that group and produce something which has convergence of thinking and ultimately consensus. That is not an easy job. You and I, Lisa, made that very clear to the chairs, and they understand that. So I think for me, the critical point here is that we have not in any sense failed in our task in trying to meet the ICG's original timeline. On the contrary, we've worked as hard as we possibly can. I've seen amazing contributions from this group to try and get somewhere in a very short space of time. So we've done well so far, and they recognize that and are very sympathetic to us then coming back with a revised timeline or timelines based on recognizing those critical dependencies that you flagged earlier. So I think we have to do that. It's incumbent on us to do that as soon as possible
to revert to them with a revised timeline. And providing that timeline is reasonable in relation to what they hope to achieve, I'm sure that they'll be receptive to it. Now, clearly, there's a challenge in meeting those, and we need to work on doing that. But I think a revised project plan from us that reflects the realities of what we're dealing with and the critical dependencies is vital, and we've got to do that in short order. So I hope we'll be looking at that at our next meeting a week from now, as some have said, and we may need to put parameters around certain of the key dependencies, literally depending on how long they take. But it should give us a time window for completion. And I think the other point we impressed on the ICG chair and vice chairs was that we need to make a credible timeline. We can't simply and we need to take advantage of Singapore, certainly, which is what has been some of the comment in the chat, and we will do that. As far as that timeline is concerned, one thing to think about is that it seems that something that could be very useful is if we could get a revision of our draft. That's not necessarily a new draft, but an update to the draft that reflects the work that's been done since the first draft was proposed. And if we can have something like that, a document to work with, that may be a very useful instrument to help us with our discussions in Singapore. But let's do some work on a timeline in the meantime and discuss it as a group and then aim to bring that together at next week's meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. That's very helpful. Other comments or questions? I see there's people asking for a face-to-face meeting in Singapore. It might be difficult to arrange, but we'll see what is manageable, and we'll get back to you regarding this next Thursday. Any other questions or comments? Jonathan, is that an old hand, or you still want to add something? No. Okay. I don't see any more questions or don't see any more wishes to express any comments. So I think we should move on to a review of action items. I don't know if Grace or Marika will go through those. Grace, go ahead.
Thank you, Liz. This is Grace of the Record. So just we only have two action items today. We have Avery volunteering to help edit Alan's document, and I will help assisting Avery and other editors who volunteer to capture the comments that were made on today's call with, you know, the transcript and other things circulated as soon as possible. And that's all I have for actions today. I know that we had listed that we would have a revised timeline for next week, which I can put in an action as well for the chairs.
Thank you, Grace. I think we should do that, and I also think we should add that people should have a look at the document regarding the legal advice, and please comment on this as soon as possible, because that needs to have some feedback very soon. And I see Greg, your hand is up. Greg?
Thank you, Lisa. Greg Shatton, for the record. That was exactly the point that I wanted to comment on, which is that that's another action item. I can put that document up in Google Drive for people to suggest changes to. I will endeavor to add changes based on the emails on the list prior to this call, but would suggest that rather than continuing that list after this call, that comments be made on the Google doc that I'll circulate shortly, and not in the email. As I said, I'll capture what's in the email prior to this call, but let's close that thread and move the comment to the document. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Chuck, your hand is up.
Thanks, Lisa. Just, I know we talked about this in our prep meeting yesterday, but for everybody in the working group, I think it'd be really good if everyone be thinking about questions that we would like to ask the community in Singapore and take advantage of the time we have there to get feedback on. In particular, I think subgroup 3 and subgroup 3B, they may have some specific questions that they would like to ask the community to respond to in Singapore. And I think in the next, between now and our two meetings ahead, if we're all thinking about items for which we'd like to have feedback, some of those might relate to what can be called the Frankfurt solution. Some of them may relate to the internal solution. But I think one of the most direct ways to get useful feedback in Singapore would be to have a list of questions that we would like feedback on, and we can talk about there while we're in Singapore. And the various different groups can do it within their sessions. It doesn't have to be in a CWG session. Each of us in our own groups, if we have a list of questions, can solicit feedback within our groups and then report that feedback back up into the CWG. Jonathan's idea of a revised draft, I think it might be revised drafts, depending on which solution we're talking about, but that's helpful too. But I think even more importantly, if we can have some directed questions to ask the community and the various groups that will be meeting separately in Singapore in person, that would be very useful.
Thank you, Chuck. And I agree, the more we can present and the more we can discuss with the communities during Singapore, the better. So I agree it would be nice to have a set of questions that we could try and get some comments on. Greg, is that an old hand, or you still have a comment or question?
Old hand, sorry.
Old hand. And Greg, your hand is up? Your hand is up?
Old hand as well, sorry about
old
that.
Old hand as well, okay. So, this is, as far as I see it, the review of the action items on lists, other comments. No? Okay. Then we have any other business? Anyone's got any other business they want to put forward? Doesn't look like it. Oh, Grace?
This is Grace Abome for the record. So I haven't done a reminder about your SOIs recently, but I'm letting you know now that you can expect to see one by the end of this week. For those of you who haven't created SOIs yet, those are statements of interest, and they were required for your participation in the group. I've sent 3 reminders to date to those who haven't completed their statements of interest yet, but I gave you a little break over the holidays, and I expect to start resuming my constant pestering soon. So just a little warning.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. It's very important that those are updated. Okay. If there's no more subjects to discuss today, I would thank you all for participating, and I think it has been very helpful. We have a lot of action items to complete within a very short timeline. I really hope that you all will have a look at the legal issues, and also anyone could help Avery completing the input for Frankfurt. It would be great. But thank you, everyone, and have a nice day, evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are. And talk to you in a week's time.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Lee.
Well, see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.